We are in a series studying the book of Daniel, a great book with some incredible stories. If you take the time, and I believe if you're open to the Spirit of God, the book of Daniel can speak to you about heart and life, and it's just got so much to say to us. Last week, we read of an angry, proud king. His name was Nebuchadnezzar, and he demanded that all of his servants, the king did in his selfish heart and his prideful heart, he demanded that all of them would bow down and worship a statue that had been made in his honor. But when three Hebrew men came before him, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they came before him and they said, no. They said, we will worship only God. We will not bow down to your idol. The king became more angry and threatened them again and said, if you don't, you will be cast into the fire immediately. And again, no, we will not bow down to the idol. And so in his hot anger, Nebuchadnezzar had them thrown into a fiery furnace, probably thinking and believing that he was in control, thinking that he had control over these three men. But in an instant, God broke through in a way that was amazing. And in his own way, God showed Nebuchadnezzar that he was not in control. And Nebuchadnezzar, perhaps for the first time in his life, saw God. Maybe for the first time, he saw God. Daniel chapter 3, verse 24. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked the advisors, weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire? They replied, certainly, O king. He said, look, I saw four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. As Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them, they saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. First this morning, I'd like to look for a few minutes at King Nebuchadnezzar. We recognize here in this story that Nebuchadnezzar had another opportunity. We recognize that Nebuchadnezzar, maybe for the first time in his life, saw God. Nebuchadnezzar had an opportunity to see the hand of God. It had to be an incredible moment for him as he looked into that furnace. Can you just try to imagine with me this morning what it must have been like for the king, this powerful man who had all the leaders around him bowing down to the idol, and then three men won, and he'll fix them. He'll take care of this little rebellion in the kingdom, and in the furnace they go. And sounds like that the satraps and governors and royal advisors were all called in to watch what would happen. It says in verse 27, all of them came to see. You imagine the king in his fury and his anger. I don't know if he had doubts or he was just so mad and angry that it's going to happen. They go in. Imagine the shock on the king's face and his anger and fury as he sees him thrown into the fire. And he even sees that the men who throw him in the fire are killed instantly by the heat. And then the shock and the disbelief in the king's face. He was on holy ground. He didn't know it. But he saw God, and he knew that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not alone. Two things about that. Number one, just imagine what it was like for the king to look in the fire and see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walking around. I mean, you know you can't survive that. You couldn't stand for even 2 seconds in that kind of fire. I mean, as soon as they would go in, they would just collapse and their life would be gone instantly. He knew that. There they were walking. And then he looks, and there's a fourth. Somehow God chose him. Somehow God, he knows. And the fourth is like the son of the gods. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar had an opportunity in that moment. So he yells out in amazement, "Come out, come out, come out of the fire." He shouts in amazement. Then he watches, and he hears, and he listens. And the men around him, all the satraps and governors and all those around him, they can't smell any fire on them. No singe, not a hair of their heads had been burned. What kind of God can do that? What kind of God can do that? Reminds me of another verse about hair on our head. You know, the Bible says that God knows every hair on our head. Everyone. He knows every single one. So Nebuchadnezzar can't believe it. He praises God. He shouts out. He acknowledges God. God is real. He acknowledges that. He's alive. He's powerful. He is touched by what he's seen. He's seen an angel, it says. God sent an angel. He knows it. Nebuchadnezzar knows deep down that God is real. Nebuchadnezzar is on a journey. The next chapter, chapter 4, we're going to see the conclusion of his journey with God in a story. It's very powerful. We're going to look at it in 2 weeks. From today. But now we see the reaction of Nebuchadnezzar in verse 28. It says, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God." I mean, what kind of God is he? And what kind of men are these? Who are these three Hebrew children? Who are these incredible young men that when placed on the precipice where they could feel the heat, they could possibly say no? What were they made of? Who were they? What can we say about them? Well, certainly we could say some things like this. Man, they were for real. They believed what they said. I mean, they lived it out. They knew who they were. They were sold out for God. They were sold out for God. So my question is this morning, does God want any less than us? Does God want any less from you than Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They believed it and they lived it out. Not just when it was convenient. I mean, not just before, you know, there was any statue that they were told to bow down before. I mean, that maybe was the easy part. But that was the part when they were growing deeper. That was the part when they decided who they were. That was the part when they were developing that faith and that trust and that belief in God that, man, he can save us from the furnace, but even if he doesn't, we will serve him alone. See, there was something inside of them. There was something in their heart, in their bodies, in their very fiber, in their minds, in their DNA. They believed what they said. They really believed what God told them. All the way, no matter what, sold out for God. And that's what God wants for his people. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It is a great and a mighty and a powerful story, but I want to say that's for us too. God wants the kind of faith in us as in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God said, "Be holy because I am holy." He said that to his people. There's something that God wants in you and I that we see in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that's true for us today. Be holy because I am holy. Then 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19 says, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." I believe this scripture kind of captures what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were. God says, "I want all of you, completeness, thoroughness, through and through." God wants us. He wants all of you. He wants all of who you are. This word, this idea, sanctification, is an important word, or whatever you call it. It's about a relationship with God that's all the way complete. I mean, all the it is just completeness. And it's God's will for you. It's God's will for you and you and you. Every person here today that is a Christian, this is God's will for you. Don't think that it's only for this super people like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Sanctification is God's will for you today if you're a Christian. God wants to do something thoroughly in your heart and your life. It is all through the Scriptures. This story to me brings it to light, and so many others do as well. It's part of the journey of responding to God, of being all that God wants in your life. Here's a way to describe it. What is sanctification? Sanctification is being sold out to God all the way, knowing that there is something deeper in your relationship that you can look toward and you can work toward and you can pray about and you can seek in your life, that God does want more of you. Sometimes there's a tension on the inside. That tension is, okay, God, you have me, but you really don't have everything in my life. You don't have everything in my attitude. You don't have everything in my past. You don't have everything in my personality. I'm still holding on. I'm still wanting to be in charge. I'm still wanting to say it's me. And God can't have it. It's like all of us have corners in our lives. We have rooms in our house. We have closets in life. And sometimes those doors are closed and we think, well, yeah, we're a Christian, but God, don't mess with my closet. Don't mess with this area of my life. Don't mess with this attitude that I have. Don't mess with those little ugly things that I know are in there sometimes, and sometimes they come out. God, only so far. Only so far. I know that after I became a Christian, I say as when I was 15 that I came to that place that I really said it was for me. I had heard about God and went to church, but I remember 15 saying, it's for me. Not my parents' decision, my faith. And when I did that, then I became aware of some other things in my life that weren't what God wanted. It's not that I had said no to God. It's not that I said, God, you can't have that. It's that I wasn't aware of it. I didn't realize it. I didn't see it. But after I came to my faith in Jesus and I accepted Him, I asked Him to forgive me and come into my life, there were some other things in my heart, in my life, that continued to affect me. There were little things on the inside, little attitudes and things that I struggled with. I knew that they weren't pleasing to God. At first, I didn't see it at all. But as time went on, I probably saw a little bit more some of the negative things that I had going on inside of me and that needed to be dealt with. But at the time I said, God, everything's yours. But there were things that were in those closets and the doors were shut and maybe there was even a lock on it. And I didn't even realize that, but they were there. And as time goes on and life goes around, sometimes those doors would get opened and then it would be in there and I wouldn't like what I saw. I didn't like what I saw in me sometimes. God needed to shape me. God needed to form me. I needed to be available for God to take the clay and say, hey, we're going to work on this. You got some bubbles in your clay. You know, if the clay goes to the kiln and it's not been worked, you know what happens? Of course, it breaks when the pressure's on. You know, Shadrach and Meshach could have broken, but they were ready to go into the kiln because they had been shaped by God and they were ready for the fire. And that's the way it is in our lives. Sometimes we got things on the inside, and though we don't like them, and we might say, boy, I don't want to be that way, we struggle with them. That was the way it was with me. For me, it was a self spirit. It was a spirit that had an angry side, had an ugly side. I can remember saying things that came out of my mouth and I felt so ashamed of. I would get mad and I would say things to people when I didn't get my way, mostly. Or, you know, something went on that I didn't like and wouldn't have done it that way. I would just be real critical, you know. I could be pretty nasty. I mean, at least in here, it came out a few times. But boy, there was something on the inside that was ruling who I was. There's something on the inside that still had control on the inside. It's not that Jesus wasn't there. It's that Jesus wasn't on the throne. It's that I had not given it all to God's Spirit, and I knew I was struggling and wrestling with it. Sanctification is that time in your life when you're able to come and give it to God and say, God, it is yours. I have this self-spirit and I want to get rid of it. At the core of the issue was who's going to be in charge? You know, especially when it came to my tongue. Man, I could be so cutting sometimes. And I had a temper, and that was part of it. You know, I'd get mad and I'd fly off. Then I'd feel real bad. Then I'd go and say, I'm sorry. And that was good. That part was good. You know it usually. Sometimes you know it when you have a bad attitude and it's wrong. Sometimes I think people don't realize it, you know. We're made of clay. We're impacted by how we grew up and what we heard and what we were taught and our brothers and sisters and all those things. Some of us came from environments that were very healthy and clean and positive. Others have just, man, they've been in a place where they struggle. But both sides, you got stuff going on the inside. And you know it's not what God wants for you. You don't know what to do about it. I can't change it. I can't fix it. I got this ugly part of me on the inside. You ever feel that way? I know I felt that way a lot. This ugly part on the inside, and I didn't want that to be who I was. I know it wasn't good. I know it wasn't right. But it was a struggle. And see, even when you come to faith in Jesus, it doesn't mean that the struggle's taken away. In fact, sometimes the struggle gets worse because then there's these two things going on inside your spiritual heart. And God's Spirit's there and He's talking to you and He's convicting you and He's telling you, that's not right. That's not good. It's not healthy. You know, and on the other hand, you got these feelings or you got this driving something on the inside that just seems like it you can't stop it. You can't control it. It comes up. It bubbles up. It boils up. Sanctified people come to a place where they see the battle going on and they realize that God has to do something about it because they can't fix it by themselves. Sanctification is both us confessing what we are and what we know is not right and saying, God, would you help me? Would you take it away? I just ask you to consider this morning the call to be sanctified. The call to say, God, I got stuff in my heart and my life that I know only you can deal with. Sanctified people come to the place about decision. They know it's God's will. They know that God is speaking to them. They got that conscience on the inside that the Holy Spirit is faithful and will speak to you about right and wrong, and He'll speak to you when your attitude's not right. He'll tell you, He'll show you, He'll remind you. And God wants to take away that struggle that's a part of the journey. I mean, part of your journey with God is working through this time and place and however it comes out inside of you about what you are. God wants to do something about it. God wants us to give it to Him. And it's freeing. It's fulfilling. When you humble yourself before God, God sees what you are. It helps you to love people better, to care more about other people more than yourself. What happens when you're sanctified? Well, I'll just tell you some things that I believe are there. What happens when you're sanctified? What do you see? Number one is you love God and you love people better. I mean, it is just, it's really that the greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, and only God can help you to do it. When you are sanctified, you will love people better. You will love people. You will care about people. It helps to put into practice all these scriptures that we talk about and we think about. I mean, here's one: it is better to give than to receive. When you're sanctified, it's in your heart. When you're sanctified, the words of Jesus ring true. Blessed are the peacemakers. When you're sanctified, you embrace it. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You're not trying to walk this fine line between right and wrong. You want to be on the right side. It makes possible the words of Philippians chapter 2 when Paul writes these words. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. You see, when you're sanctified, it's not about you. It's about God. It's about other people. Sanctification is giving it all to God. What does it mean to be sanctified? Sanctified people are kind. A real practical description. How do you know if you're sanctified? Well, how do you know if you're not? Sanctified people are kind. They are governed by love. In their hearts are a love for people, a love for God. They have joy. They have peace. They have the fruit of the Spirit. They have patience. They are kind. They are good. They are faithful. They are gentle. They are self-controlled. They have a deep desire to do what is right. Not to cut corners. Not to do the minimum. Not to say, what do I have to do to be a Christian? You know, that's the difference between a believer and a sanctified believer. Sometimes a believer says, what do I have to do to be a Christian? A sanctified believer says, what can I do to be a Christian? How close can I be to God? Serving Him. They're all out. I mean, they are sold out. Whatever it is. Picking up the trash. Taking care of people. Opening the doors. Getting their hands dirty. Letting their lives be interrupted to help other people. That's sanctified. Saying, God, my schedule is your schedule. My time is your time. My money is your time. Sanctified people love God with all that they are, and they love their neighbors as themselves. There's no substitute for love. Sanctified people have a passion for the kingdom of God. Sanctified people store up treasures on earth. You know I said that wrong. Sanctified people store up treasures in heaven, not on earth. Sanctified people are merciful to the weak. See, sanctified Christians, when they see a brother hurt or stumble, they love them and care about them and reach out to help them. Unsanctified people, when they see a brother that's hurting, they judge them, say words of condemnation, criticism. God calls for you and I to be sanctified, holy through and through. God knows where we're weak. God knows what needs to be sanctified. Sanctified people have eyes and ears that see and hear hurting people. Unsanctified people don't care. They don't take time. Sanctified people are careful with what they say. They're careful that their words bless. They're careful that their words do not injure. They're careful that they don't use their tongues to criticize. They're careful that they don't use their tongues to gossip. They're careful that they use their words to encourage. They're careful to say to the people around them, we're all on a journey together toward God. Sanctified people are unselfish. Sanctified people are forgiving. Sanctified people are reconciling. Sanctified people are full of grace. They're able to look in the mirror and see their own faults instead of examining others. The two qualities that I think should be the greatest in a sanctified person, number one, is the ability to look in the mirror. The ability to look in the mirror. And the desire to look in the mirror instead of looking at the faults of other people. The second thing, sanctify people. When do you know somebody's sanctified? Well, when a sanctified person messes up. I didn't say if. Because sanctified people are not perfect. Oh, sanctification doesn't mean that you will always get it right or your attitude will be perfect. Let me tell you. I know. Sanctified people, when they mess up, are the first ones to say, I'm sorry. I was wrong. Sanctified people are the first one, again, to look in the mirror and say, God, change me. Mold me, make me into what you will. That's sanctification. Sanctification says, God, you're in charge of everything I am. Sanctified people are quick to say, I'm sorry. They're quick to say, forgive me. They're quick to say, I forgive you. To both God and others. Sanctified people are leaders by example. By example. Sanctified people are leaders in humility. They do their best to be honest with God. Sanctified people work hard at trying to be honest with God about who they are. They realize that God is their friend. They realize that God loves them and God wants to help them and God wants to shape them. Sanctified people are the most humble people on earth. And unsanctified Christians are the least. They are the least. Sanctified people are committed. They're consistent. They tell the truth. They accept responsibility. They're all out. Sanctified people realize that it's a process, and all of life is a process with God. And we are never, ever finished with being shaped by God. No matter how young, no matter how old, no matter how short, no matter how long in the body of Christ and the church, sanctified people are always saying, God, shape me. Speak to me, change me, confront me. That's what a sanctified person is. God, it's you. You have the right in my life. Sanctification. All out, whatever you want to call it. It's a deeper work with God. It's possible. It's attainable. It's by choice. It's freeing. It's contagious. It's God's will. Our world needs to see it. Boy, does your world need to see it. Boy, does your workplace need to see it. Boy, does your family need to see it. Does your school need to see it? Does your husband, your wife need to see it? Do your children need to see it? Yeah. The church needs it. What about you? Are you sold out? These five statements right here. Then I close this morning. If you just look at them with me again, it's kind of the summary of what I'm feeling and wanting to communicate today. Five things. If you want to be sanctified, you want that all out with God. You got to say in your spirit, God, you're in charge. You got to believe that. You got to commit that. You got to make the choice and the decision, God, you're in charge. And you must confess and be honest with God that you have a self spirit. You know, at times, I don't like what I see. I don't like what I feel. Feelings, you can't help them, they just come, but they're pretty indicative of what's going on in the heart. And so if you have nasty feelings, that's something to bring to God. Say, God, would you help me with that? Would you help me with that attitude? Would you help me with that spirit that's not honest? That spirit that's always fighting against something or someone or somewhere. You got to be honest with God. You got teachable. There's no substitute for being teachable. I can be so stubborn. So I don't want to throw it at you, but I'll throw it at me first. I can be so stubborn. Debbie can attest to that. I want to tell you something. There is no substitute for a teachable heart before God. None. Either you fall on your face before God and say, God, I'm teachable, or you say, I don't want it all. Teachable. Humble before God. Humble yourself before God. No substitute for it. And then to ask God to take it away. Simply to say, you got to believe that God wants to, and you got to ask God to help you with it. touched. That might seem obvious, just to say, God, I don't like what I got going on in there. I don't like this attitude. I don't like this, what I'm dealing with. Will you help me with it? Will you take it away? And I can tell you from experience that I have felt in my life, when you come to the point that you really ask God to deal with it, He will deal with it. For me, it wasn't until that point. God wants you to be sanctified. He wants me to. The last scripture this morning, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's so simple and it's so short. For this is God's will for you, even your sanctification. Wonder this morning, are there things in your life that you need to ask God to take out? You need to come to Him and say, God, hey, you know, you don't have all of me, and I want to give them to you. If God can help you to just give it all to Him, maybe you have to give one piece at a time. But to come and say, God, I'm yours, and I give it to you, and I ask you to help me with it. I know God will help you with it. God's faithful to do that. I wonder who's next. Young or old, rich or poor, married, single. This is God's will. I mean, who's going to be the next Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Who's going to be willing to say, it's all for you, God? Man, this story to me just kind of demands an answer. As I think about it, am I willing to go into the fire? Am I willing to say, God, I am all yours, everything in my life? Man, this is a powerful story. Would you stand with me?